I'll be testing Carl on the new re-education of Carl, as you know. He got a GCSE.
It's the last one, isn't it?
In history. It was the last heavy sort of one, yeah.
No.
So Winston Churchill. Because I thought we're going on to more sort of metaphorical and metaphysical pursuits, aren't we?
Not that book.
Yeah, that's the Aesop's Fables.
I can't read that in a week.
You don't have to read it. Just choose out. Just choose the ones about the foxes eating penguins. You'll like that. It's time for the re-education of Carl Pilkington. This week, Carl was studying the life and times of Winston Churchill. What do you make of it, Carl? What did Churchill do for you?
Last week I made a bit of an error with Hitler.
Yeah,
you just tried to remember too much, and it was way too much for me.
Sure.
So what I've done this week, sort of flicked through, got a few of the basic facts.
Yeah.
And what I've learned, right? Bit weird the way all these people have something in common, that they're all a bit weird when they're younger.
Okay.
They've got some sort of illness.
Go on.
Well, you know, Rasputin, he wasn't well as a kid.
Yeah.
Che Guevara.
This is Rasputin, the mad monk, wasn't well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Che Guevara.
Yeah.
Asthma, really bad asthma.
Yeah.
Hitler. He was only one ball. Bit mental.
Yeah.
Only one. His mother.
A bit mental. That could be libelous.
Yeah.
And who've we done? And Churchill.
Yeah.
Very weak child.
Was he?
He only spoke to his dad 4 times in his whole lifetime.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't get on with his dad.
Right.
And I think one of the times when his dad spoke to him, he was having a go, saying he didn't do as well in the army as he wanted him to.
Right.
So that's pretty sad bit I picked up of it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So that spurred him on anyway.
Yeah. I'm not going in all the ins and outs. Very, important bloke.
Okay.
No, seriously. I mean, your dad bought the tapes, didn't he?
Yes.
And I can understand why. Because he did change a lot for us. You know what I mean? We wouldn't be sat here now talking like this.
Why?
We could have been German.
Yep.
He didn't let that happen.
No.
Everyone had a go at him, right? When I think it was Chamberlain who was in power.
Yeah.
And he was like saying, don't be trusting that Hitler.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone was like, look, stop causing trouble. Chamberlain sorted it out. You know, he sorted out a peace agreement.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I don't trust him. And everyone's like, oh, you know, you're just causing trouble. You know, everyone else is happy. Then it turned out that Hitler did actually do the dirty and try and come over.
I remember. Do something. He started a war.
There was a conflict of some kind.
Yeah,
yeah.
Started a problem, and everyone went, "Hang on a minute!" That Churchill knew what he was talking about.
Yeah,
get him back in charge.
Sure.
And they got him in, and Hitler was scared of him because he knew that he wasn't going to be having any lies or anything. He couldn't try it on with Churchill.
Yeah, especially when he was a little bit pissed up and coked and big cigar. Churchill.
He wasn't that. He wasn't doing that.
I think a lot were during the war, in the war cabinet. I think they had to have things to keep him awake all night and stuff. And he certainly liked a brandy.
Rick, Winston Churchill was coked up, was he? I mean, sorry, this is something I wasn't aware of.
If there are any historians listening, if I'm wrong, I'm very sorry.
Was that in the World at War?
No, I don't think so. Any historians or experts on war. Did Churchill and not some of the other people during I think the First and Second World War take a little bit of cocaine?
So when he said that Hitler,
doctors certainly used to.
Hitler liked cakes. Would they be like the funny sort of cakes?
No, he probably did like a little bit of Madeira cake.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we looked at. Sorry, carry on.
So anyway,
he beat the Bosch.
Yeah. Did all that.
Oh, like, steady on. His personal life's nothing to do with it.
And the most amazing bit is, right, he wasn't fit. And he had a couple of strokes.
Well, he's a good-looking bloke in many ways.
He had a couple of strokes, but he had a stroke on, say...
We've had that. He beat the Bosch. He liked to have a couple of strokes. Yeah. Let's not get into innuendo, Carl. It's stupid.
Right, say he had, like, a stroke on a Tuesday. He was up and fighting again on a Wednesday.
Really?
He was a strong bloke.
Yeah.
And then he died at about the age of 86 or something.
He's a good lad, wasn't he?
He was really good.
Yeah.
Is he the one you favour most of all?
I'd say out of all, I mean, Rasputin, I don't understand why he got, like I said, I don't know why they made a book on him.
No.
He just didn't deserve it.
No.
Che Guevara, you know, he had his time, I suppose, and did a bit good for certain people.
Sure.
Sorted Cuba out.
Yep.
Doesn't really affect me.
No.
Hitler, I mean, enough said.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bad bloke. Churchill sorted it all out.
Yeah.
And like,
so your favourite out of the four of them, the of all those four, is Churchill.
Churchill, yeah,
brilliant,
brilliant.
I agree. I agree with you. I think
what I love with your kind of sort of summary of these people's incredible lives is the way that it's almost like, I remember in Lookin magazine. I don't remember Lookin. It was the Junior TV Times. Looking. They used to have half a page, which was a comic strip, summarising someone's life. You might have, say, Five Star, the story of Five Star, and you'd have a picture. I always remember the Roger Moore one was a picture of like Roger's parents. It was like Roger Moore was born in 1930. Da, da, da. Picture of Roger's parents. Roger grew up during the war. Picture of Roger running down the street, right? Yeah. Dressed as a school kid with a Spitfire coming behind him like it was going to try and shoot him.
Mr. Smith, surely.
Exactly, exactly. Mr. Smith, yeah. Roger took up acting. Picture of Roger like acting. Yeah. Roger became James Bond. James Bond. Roger's now a popular, you know, star in his own right, and does a lot of work for charity. Brilliant. It summed up the whole thing in kind of
five
pictures.
I think they used to have that in one of the TV Times or the Sun. I remember sort of when it was Tina Turner. What's it? Born Sarah Mae Bullock. Then it was Nutbush City Limits. Stop hitting me, Ike. Yeah. And then they're simply the best. Exactly. And that was it. It was
exactly. It's great. And that's very much what how your summary of great events is.
But I'd say if you didn't know about Churchill, you've learned a bit today.
Can people call in? All these fellas taking cocaine? I think I'm right. It's 08-700-800-1234.
Yeah,
give us a call, XFM 104.9.
Did Winston Churchill and various other dignitaries take coke during the war?
During the war, staying up for the war effort, the emergency summits and meetings. I think it's been documented. I could be wrong, and let me tell you now, it's not happening today.
Wow,
Pete, you're on there.
He's there, isn't he, to save me? For Nancy, XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me, Steve Merchant, the carpool. I'm getting excited now because we've had loads of calls and emails, not only backing me up, but going a little bit further. Apparently, Johnny Mango called in again. He's become our sort of official researcher on this show. There is evidence that Queen Victoria in Balmoral, with a young house guest, Winston Churchill, used to consume cocaine-filled lozenges. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Also, MDMA was a precursor of sort of ecstasy, a derivative, and that was big in the day, giving soldiers, you know, a little pick-me-up. So it's not so mad, is it?
It sort Winston of makes Churchill sense, because he was into his speeches and that, and they say that coke gives you sort of... you know, the balls to stand up and say, like...
Not that that's a good thing.
And no, it's not.
No.
Definitely not.
No.
Right? But it apparently it makes you confident, doesn't it? So you can stand up and say, you know, we're going to fight them on the beaches.
Yeah.
And all that. And sound like you mean it.
It's exactly, yeah. When he was sort of like, you know, a little bit pissed up with his cigar on, coked off his tits, he wanted a fight. He didn't care where it was. He'd fight on a beach. He didn't care. He didn't care if he got sand in his new trainers.
Exactly. He was boosted up.
Yeah. You want to fight. That's why he was coming hard.
He was very much, you've got to think of him as the Liam Gallagher of his day.
Oh, dear. That's
bad. Are we allowed to talk about this? I mean, I don't mean in terms of referencing drugs, but are we allowed to... Is this, like, libelous to Winston Churchill?
I mean, one, you can't libel the dead. Yeah, but two, it's...
is that only in America,
I'm asking, and we're not saying, you know... Two, I think you'd probably going to do also a fair comment. Three, we say we were joking. Yeah. Four, it's a satire.
Yeah. Five, we love him.
Five, we're not condoning drugs in any way.
Six, this is Dermot O'Leary's show.
I didn't have a go at him anyway. I said he's all right. If there's any law against Rasputin, we might be in trouble.
law against you
Rasputin.
Did willfully Rasputin.
Yeah.
All over
you
the airwaves.
You did slag off Russia's greatest love machine.
Yeah. You didn't shoot him till he was dead, did you?
Oh,
put some poison into his
I'll tell
wine.
You this, if there's any other historical questions that people want answered, then we're the men. Because really, with the three of us, our knowledge of the fact that the Hindenburg was filled with helium, the kind of coke habits and various drug habits of Britain's most famous political leader.
Yeah.
We've got the answers to all of it.
Einstein.
Go on.
I found out in the week that he didn't talk till he was six. See, it's all these people who are weird.
Churchill couldn't read, could he, till he was about eight or nine.
Really?
Yeah. So, there you go. He got a D in history, apparently, GCSE. Yeah. Just one better. No, but Carl called me in the week and he was a little bit stressed because he's had a bad week now. He got stressed about Hitler and Churchill, and I said, well, we're chill out a little bit and I'll teach him something a little bit cosier. And I said, like, what about animals? No, you know, not frightening other animals. You're interested in animals, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know, and And he went, oh, all right then, all right then. And then he went, okay, here's a question for you, Clever. So there's three animals without ears. He said, and I've told you one. And I went, well, that's the snake, because he was talking about the snake. I went, hold on, Carl, there's loads of animals without ears. He went, there's not, there's three. I went, there's loads. I said, jellyfish, worms, single-cell protozoa, peripherous. But he went, oh, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Animals, proper animals. I went, they are animals. He went, no, proper animals. And I went, do you mean mammals? He went, what are you on about? I said, are these animals, have they got legs and are they fur-bearing, right? And he went, one is. They've got legs. I went, oh, I don't know, I give up. He went, right, the turtle. I went, right, yeah. And he went, and the bumblebee. He said, that's the one with fur.
That's the one with fur. The one
What are you thinking? What is in your head, Carl?
Which has got the most fur, a bee or a turtle?
It's not fur.
What is it?
Well, it's you know.
He's done you there, Jerry.
It's pseudo hairs, isn't it? It's like it's a hair. It's a keratin thing. It's not like we have, like mammals grow fur. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not convinced.
When we say mammals are warm-blooded creatures. Yeah. Often, usually placental, as a few exceptions, right? That give their milk to their young, nurture their young, and they have fur.
Have you heard about osters? Oysters. They're 1 minute they're a man, then they're a woman, then they're a man again.
Like Eddie Izzard. Now that's libelous. He's a transvestite, could I say? He's not a transsexual. Let's say that straight away. I'm retracting that.
Right, go on then. Give us some more facts.
No, I got you Aesop's Fables.
No, but you had some more facts you told me that were dead good. I just wondered if Steve knew them.
What? What do you want to know?
The ones that you read out to me. You had one about the spiky thing.
Go on.
Porcupine.
Give me a clue.
How many spikes has a porcupine got?
Don't know.
How many was it?
I think it was about 10,000. But these aren't the most interesting facts, are they?
It's all right.
It's all right, though, isn't it? Yeah, and he went, but how can they say that? You could say that, you know, we've got a certain amount of hairs in our head. I went 100,000 average. He went, yeah, but I haven't. So how do we know that porcupine that they've counted is the same for all of them?
Might have had alopecia.
yeah, he might have been a particularly hairy one. You know what I mean? Right, you've got to learn. Do you know what a fable is? I'll try to explain briefly. Do you know what a fable is?
I've got a rough idea.
Okay, it's a thing that uses sort of metaphor, analogy, just to explain sort of morals. I mean, they're very old for a start, and it's all. I'll give you an example of one. A quick one. Oh, the one about the dog with two bones. He goes to a dog's got a bone. He sees a reflection in the lake and he thinks, oh, that dog's got a nice bone. I'll have that. And as he goes to get that one in the reflection, he drops the one he's got. And that's one about, you know,
I think I was told one when I was younger.
Go on.
I think it was one. This young lad, he's got a dog, right? And he sort of is about 8 years old. And this dog, he's had it since he was about four. And it's a bit tired now and he chucks sticks for it and it doesn't go for it. And he's saying to his mum, oh, I want a new dog because this one's useless. It doesn't do what, you know, it doesn't have any fun with me. So they say, oh, no, but, you know, Rover's a good little dog. You should look after it. And he's like, oh, I don't like it. I want a new one. So they buy him a new puppy and it's running around, yapping about, and he's loving it and he's playing around with it in the grass. And then one day he goes to the park and he's messing about and rolling about with it and he falls into the lake, right? And the little puppy's like yapping at him. And he's going, help me, help me. The little dog's yapping. And then the old dog comes and gets his collar and it pulls him out of the lake. And he goes, oh God, you know, why did I forget about you? You're the better dog. And he loved that one again rather than the puppy.
I was not feeling that was Lassie.
Yeah, that was an episode of Lassie. What's the moral? What's the moral there, Carl? What's that telling? What's that explaining through analogy?
Sort of don't forget the old.
Look after old people. I remember there was one I heard once about a young boy who got trapped in a lake inside a cage.
But he loved his trainers so much.
He loved his trainers so much he wasn't going to get them wet. And but even though he had to get out there.
And even though he thought that was the important thing because it's material value, he actually drowned. And the trainers were no good to him then.
Star Sailor.
Hives, I hate to say I told you so. Now, I want to clear a couple of things up. Obviously, me and Steve, we love Carl. This is the things we give Carl to read and talk about. It's not to embarrass him or stress him out at all. We genuinely like his view of the world. Yep. In fact, we did an interview yesterday with a bloke from the Standard who really liked the show and said, do you like Carl? Because you take the piss out of him a lot. And, you know, we just like to say, we love Carl. I said to that bloke, I said, it's like I've got a new kitten. I can't wait to get in and see his little face on Saturdays, didn't I?
Yes.
And I think I'm worried because I thought I'd give Carl something he was really get his teeth into with these Aesop fables. It involves animals and, you know, little stories. But I've given him a couple and he doesn't seem to be that impressed or understand the concept.
It's just that you said you'd bring in an animal fact book as well. And I can't see that anywhere.
No. Well, you can only read one book at a time, can't you?
Why didn't you bring the other one in first?
Well, it's big. I've got to work my way up to it. Sometimes I'll probably have to get a cab. Because it's a bit big. Now listen, I'll give this one. This is an easy one. Now just think, right? Think just what it means. They're not that hidden. They're not that cryptic. Just think what this means, okay? Okay. When the Hares addressed a public meeting and claimed that all should have fair shares, the Lions answered, "A good speech, hairy feet, but it lacks claws and teeth such as we have."
How would you use that?
No. What do you think that means? This is translated from the, I don't know, Greek or something. I don't know. It was Aesop. Where's he from?
Greek.
Yeah. So, shall I do it in my own language? Okay. So what would happen if there's hares and they have a meeting in the jungle with like loads of lions and go, hey, hold on, wait a minute. I think we should all be equal and share everything, all right? And the lions go, well, yeah, it's easy for you to say. We've got claws and teeth.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's saying, like, of course the hares want that because it's better for them. The lions get nothing out of it because they're already king of the jungle.
That's right. So it's negotiating from weakness. Anyone can negotiate from strength, but negotiating from weakness is your... It's be lovely. It's a lovely utopian look at the animal kingdom.
But the way you said it is better than the way they worded it.
Well, that's because Ricky's very much the modern Aesop. I mean, many people have thought that. You know, that's why he's getting a lot of awards with the TV show. For him, that's a fake.
So look, AR, take that home, read ones you like and tell me about the ones you like, ones that click. I don't care if you only come in with like one or two. Go, I'll tell you what, Rick, that's a mate, that there's one thing that I've learned from that. You know, because sometimes you can know all these phrases and until something happens, you don't think, you know, everyone's heard, you know, to err is human, to forgive divine. But, and then some, you know, might happen, do you go, oh, that's what that means. That's amazing. So, you know.
Do you know any, Steve, offhand?
Wait, what's that?
A fable.
Well, I would imagine that the most famous one I've always remembered is the lion with the thing in its hoof. Do you remember that? The lion, yeah, with the spike in its paw, and a smaller animal gets it out for it, but it still attacks it anyway.
Well, that's life, isn't it?
Well, I read one the other day, actually, which was very interesting. It was one that the famous film director Orson Welles said.
Oh, yeah.
Which he said, apparently there was a bear going across a lake, wading through the lake, and a scorpion said, well, let me go on your back, will you? Come on, just let me go on your back, we'll go across, it'd be brilliant. He goes, well, no, you'll just sting me. He goes, don't be stupid, if I sting you, you'll die, and we'll both drown. And he goes, oh, fair enough.
Who was doing the stinging?
The scorpion.
The scorpion.
Right, okay.
And the bear's wading through the water.
Yeah.
So the scorpion jumps on the back and they wade through the water. And halfway across, the scorpion stings the bear. And the bear goes, well, we're both going to die now. He goes, yeah, it's my nature.
I thought he was going to say, I can swim.
Oh, you're the best.
What's the one about...
Does that mean anything to you? It's my nature. My nature.
That's the way it is.
That's what I do. Yeah. I'm a scorpion. Yeah. One of my favourite ones.
These don't mean anything to you, do they? I mean, one thing is you're not impressed by them.
They're all right.
What about this? What about this one?
Don't trust bears.
Here's one of my favourite.
What? He said, well, why not just say, don't trust bears?
the bear's the one that was too trustworthy. Don't trust scorpions.
Yeah.
Right. Here's one of my favourite ones of all time, okay? A lion is dying. It's an old lion. He's in the front of his cave. And all the animals come around, like the foxes and the hyenas and the rabbits. And they're all taking the piss out of him. And they're laughing at him. And they're laughing at him, going, you can't fight us now. Kind of. And just before he dies, he goes, fine, but I was a lion once. What does that mean?
Don't know.
Well, he's saying it's better to have lived and had what I had, because I was great, if only for a short time. And you lot are still alive, but you're nothing. You're rabbits and hares. I was a lion once, so you know.
Are they always using animals for these stories?
Well, yeah, I could change it to refrigerators and household appliances if it would make it help. But animals, you know.
I remember the one about being ill a lot, and you say something about
go on.
You know, if you keep doing that, if you keep having time off, well, I won't believe you.
That's the boy who cried wolf. Is that right? Yeah. Do you know that one?
Have you heard the famous one? This is probably the most powerful one. When you're pulling a face, and they say, well, if you keep doing that, the wind changes.
I've heard that.
Because you know that's scientifically proven.
That is.
That can happen.
That can happen.
Should we have hip hop hooray? Yeah. Are you queued up for that?
No, but go on. You,
Carl, sort it out, mate.
I was going
to. No, come on. This is what I asked you to play, mate. If you've not, you know, you're getting too big for your boots now with your showbiz lifestyle. You're not paying attention, are you? You're not playing the record if you want you to play.
Heat magazine's favourite.
Yeah. Okay, so,
Oh, we dropped that.
That's clumsy. Oh. You know, you know what the big
I can't believe you're not. Oh, Fables are great.
He's not impressed, is he, really?
No, I am. I mean, you know, once I get to take this book home tonight and that, have a read, I might change my mind on them next week.
You're coming all stressed.
I'm not impressed with the ones you've been talking about, I must admit.
Okay.
No order. Here to stay. Sadly, we're not here to stay, Steve. We've only got about 10 more minutes.
That's true enough.
Yeah?
Well, I think that's just time for some interesting facts that Johnny Mango, our researcher from loosecontrol.com, has emailed us. A few familiar ones, favourite ones of yours, I think.
Any ones I don't know, though?
I think you know this one, don't you? A pig's orgasm lasts for 30 minutes.
I know. And a pig can't actually look directly up. Wouldn't have thought so after 30 minutes of coming.
No, absolutely.
Daddy, be careful here.
That's incredible.
Remember what happened to Tom Binns? Go on.
Humans and dolphins are the only species that have sex for pleasure.
Bonobos do as well, they've rediscovered. Bonobo? A chimpanzee, like a chimpanzee.
Right.
So, yeah. So it's three now.
Can't believe dolphins are getting
They're three. They're all at it now. Dolphins get
Polar bears are left-handed.
Yeah.
So, I don't quite know how they work that out. Did they give them spelling tests? Or writing tests?
Oh, yeah, they probably just do it. It's probably the paw they use to hide up the black nose during a hunt.
Of course, of course. Some lions mate over 50 times a day.
Yeah, not every day of the year.
Okay, they don't do that every day.
No.
Okay, because again, I'm worried.
No.
I didn't think that dolphins.
What day of the year do you do it 50 times? What is it? It's coming up to it. It's April, isn't it? You'd like to get out there.
I have a special day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we could coincide that with the balloon event. It would just be me quietly humping in the corner. Volunteers, welcome to email now, you know. All the proceeds go to charity.
If you are a desperate lioness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Butterflies taste with their feet.
I didn't know that.
Interesting.
I didn't know that.
That is interesting.
But they don't eat much, do they? Because they only live a day.
Good point.
They wouldn't need to eat.
An ostrich's eye is bigger than its brain.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary.
That is, yeah.
But
Carl, how big are your eyes?
Cruel. Finally, I think we've discussed this before, haven't we? A cockroach will live 9 days without its head before it starves to death.
Yeah, that's only because it can't get water and food. Yeah, it would be quite happy going around doing its normal things.
Yeah.
I mean,
probably to work.
If you're just as good without your head as with your head.
May as well not have a head.
I don't see the point. Well, that was thanks to Johnny Mango there of, what's his website called? Who's turned into a sort of volunteered researcher.
Yeah.
He's very fast.
Loosecontrol.com.
Well, you were studying Aesop's fables, weren't you, this week? Now I'm going to be very liberal here and let you talk about it. It's not a test. I'm not, hey, man, just like chill out. I'm not this like rigid sort of, you know, boxing society. Just tell us your views. Just tell us your vibe on Aesop. Tell us something. What have you learned from these fables?
He made a bit of money out of something that's quite simple.
I don't know if he did make any money out of it. I mean, I think it was published like thousands of years after his death, but go on.
Yeah, they're just little stories. I mean, enjoyed them.
Yeah.
Didn't learn anything from them.
Okay. Or did you see? Because it's teaching through sort of like metaphor and analogy, and maybe it all seeps in and it's all subliminal, and maybe in a way your subconsciousness is teaching you.
No, it's silly, Rick.
If the stories were done in like a real way, that there's like a man and a woman, and it's a little story that something happened to them in life, then you learn something. But it's all about, you know, a gorilla and a fox are walking through the woods. How often does that happen?
Sure. So you're good saying point. If it was more like,
if it was more true to life,
if it was more like, you, maybe
if it was more like
yours.
Real yeah. stories, like, you know, a kid on his grifter and a magpie picking it, you know, pecking at his head, or yeah. two frog boys with webbed hands. I mean, if it was real stories from real life
that people could believe,
yeah,
actually happened.
Maybe, you know, it would teach us something.
But why not do that? Like, take a real situation, say like the So Solid Crew guy,
yes,
going down for carrying a gun. Use that in some way. Do you know what I mean?
As a warning, maybe about carrying guns.
What about something yeah. like, if you carry guns and that is illegal, do you could have some sort of punishment?
Yeah, that's
good.
So
good.
That's it doesn't
mean,
bother you then that the fact that these fables have been used for many, many generations to educate maybe young children or even older people, the fact that they've served a brilliant function and they've become classics, that doesn't bother you? You've seen through them?
Well, they don't always work. Okay. When I was out with Rick the other day, he brought one up.
I told him the one about the two mice, the industrious mouse, who throughout the summer, he would be storing berries, nuts and berries, and he'd be storing it, and the other mice would just be eating off the trees and running around and having a laugh. And they go, well, you're going to become hungry. And he'd go, oh, I'll worry about that when it comes to it. And they'd do that, and he'd be storing his nuts and berries, and autumn came, and the mouse was still playing and not doing anything. And then winter came, and the silly mouse was, like, shivering. And he went and knocked on the mouse's door and went, I'm freezing and I'm starving. And the clever mouse said, well, I told you, didn't I? You know, you should have been storing your nuts through winter like I did. Come in and share mine, you know. And what did you say, Carl?
Well, and the moral of that is whatever.
Well, yeah, you know, sort of, you know, just be careful. But my thing is that it's not very good, because the moral of that is do what you want, and there's always a do-gooder, a share theirs.
So, sure.
Yeah.
But the way I, you know, I think, which is more sort of 2002, the ending should have been, you know, the guy with all the berries should have like been like, you know, oh, I'll be all right come the winter. I've got loads of food. I'll be safe. But then as he's going into his little hut at the beginning of the winter, some sort of bus or something comes and kills him. Right. And it's like,
you should have partied hard because you might die.
Yeah. Enjoy life whilst you've got it.
Yeah. Okay. And if winter comes, just starve to death.
Well, you know, worry about tomorrow.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. See, I'm wondering if there's a new book here. I really am wondering if there's a Carl's Fables.
He's been coming out with the sum all week. He keeps going, well, that's a fable, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what's your favourite fable in there? Have you learned anything from this book? To get, you know, is there one fable you liked?
Yeah, I mean, they're all right.
What did you like?
You're throwing it on me now there.
Didn't you like one about a crab, you said?
No, that was the one about messing about on a cliff edge or something. Mess about on a cliff edge.
Well, what was that?
I don't know. There's not many around here, so I didn't take much interest in that one. You know what I mean?
God. I'm doing my best here.
You don't remember
anything? Yeah, here's one. Yeah, here's one that was quite nice. There was a belly, you know, like your stomach.
Yeah.
And it's this belly on a pair of legs. And the legs were saying, I'm more important than you because I carry you around. And the belly said, yeah, but, you know, if it weren't for me holding all this food, you wouldn't have the energy to walk around.
Yeah.
And that means, like, you know, rather than working on your own, it's best to work in a team.
Yeah.
So. Good.
Well, the one similar to that I was taught when I was little was a vision of heaven and hell. And it went down to hell. And in hell, right, there was these, people had like 20 foot long chopsticks.
Yeah.
And they were eating their food, and they couldn't get the chopsticks into the food and get it round to their mouth because they were just too long.
Right.
Right, that was how. And in heaven, they had exactly the same thing, but they were feeding each other.
What?
You don't like Chinese food? Is that what you're thinking? Is that what your concern is, Carl?
No, I'm just...
the one I remember, like, I can't remember the ending of it. It's about two nuns in a bath.
Yeah, oh, I know.
I can't remember what it is. Or is it, are they on a bike?
That's two adventures. It's the same nuns, but they go to all sorts of adventures.
They're normally quite erotic adventures.
Yeah, well, they are, but there was one where they're driving down a cobbled street, I remember.
Go on.
And then there's the other. Whale Bones on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais. With me, Steve Merchant, and Carl. Well, Carl, I really don't think you got your teeth into the fables, really. I don't think you...
There wasn't anything to learn. I read a couple, thought, yeah, that's all right, and put it down again. There wasn't anything to learn. It was all stuff I knew already, but made up with nice little foxes and bears and stuff. So...
Yeah. But that one about, like, That's one we spoke about, like when the hares are going, we should share all our food. And the lion said, that's a good argument, but you haven't got, it hasn't got the teeth and claws that we've got. That's lovely. Because it's sort of like, you know, that's an indictment on sort of, you know, you could say it's an anti-equality almost. You know, you could get really sort of deep into that. You know what I mean? You could, no.
Big philosophical ideas in a nutshell, not interesting.
No, really.
Okay, then. Well, you're going to hate this then. I've brought in the concise Oxford Dictionary of Quotations. Now, just look at some of your favourites. I'd suggest going to straight to things like Wilde or Newton or Churchill or
You're a big fan of Churchill.
Yeah. Like, oh, well, he's the boy. Yeah, like, right, okay, let's go through that old Cromer. Blah, blah. Newton, right. Right, here's a famous one, okay? This is Isaac Newton. If I have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants.
Do you like that one?
So there's a meaning in it.
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't actually stood on the shoulders of giants.
So remember, he's an amazing inventor and mathematician, and he discovered the incredible laws of the universe. And he's saying, yeah,
if you want a good view, move into a multi-story.
he's saying if I have seen further than the people, and he's being modest here, it's because I've stood on the shoulders of giants to get that view.
If it weren't for all the people that have come before him with their great insight and knowledge, he wouldn't have seen what he's seen.
He's taken his learnings, and those people have given him
say that instead of making up. It's that's what I've got a problem with. People don't
poetry,
say what they mean.
Poetry, art, and
in life though, people never say what they actually mean, and you know, there's loads of books on it. I don't know.
But the point is that he's just summarised quite a tricky idea beautifully.
It's beautiful. That gets into you much deeper than just the words, just the literal words, you know what I mean?
One of my favourites is from an American novelist, and the quote is, talking about the subject of fame and being famous, fame is a mask that eats into the face. Don't you think that's amazing?
Meaning...
Well, meaning that fame is something that is artificial, that you wear initially, you become famous, but it's ethereal, it's nothing, it's intangible, it's just an artifice. But if you stay famous long enough, you begin to think that that mask you're wearing is really your real face, so that you begin to, you know, think that you are more than you perhaps are. Do you see what I mean? In the way that fame and power can corrupt.
Well, who said that?
You know, it's an American novelist, I forget his name.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, there's something in that. Yeah. Pick another one, right?
Yeah, let's have a look. Bernard Shaw, he's no slouch.
When you take this book of quotations home, Carl, you should maybe just draw up maybe a list of three or four of your favourites
Shaw, Wilde. I look at Shakespeare as well. You know, he's...
Are you a fan of Shakespeare?
No.
Go on, what's your problem with it?
Just the way they speak. I can't follow it.
Yeah. And do you like West Side Story?
It's really old as well. I can't relate to it. It's like years and years ago, isn't it? That's why I like Churchill. Because
1940s.
Yeah.
Look at this. This is Shaw, okay? There are two tragedies in life. One is not to get your heart's desire. The other is to get it.
How would you see that in your little...
Well, that's one homework then. I'll mark that. That's your homework. You got to work that out. You've got to tell me what you think of it.
Say again?
Don't ask Suzanne. It's there. All right, all right. There are two tragedies in life. One is not to get your heart's desire. The other is to get it. Okay? Take that home with you. And maybe Ian and Carl come up with some amazing quotations next week.
Yeah, pick out your favourites.
Well, just read that book anyway. Can I just say it? This is one of a beautiful... It's Keats, right? What do you think of this? A thing of beauty is a joy forever. Its loveliness increases. It will never pass into nothingness.
See, this is just like how it was at school now. The last couple of weeks have been quite interested in what you've been giving me. Now it's really like,
okay.
I really don't care.
Now, what about this? Now, I did philosophy, and philosophy is obviously the, you know, the quest for knowledge. And listen to this, though. This is what Keats came out with. Philosophy will clip an angel's wings. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Don't be constrained by what's, you know, dream a little. You know what I mean? Just go beyond... I don't agree with it, but it's a lovely bit of poetry.
Yes.
Yeah? So you're going to read that for me, are you, Carl? Yeah?
Just pick out five of your favourites.
Yeah.
The ones that mean something to you.
And then next week I'll bring you in pictures of animals.
Brilliant.
Okay?
We'll do it.
Okay, and some sweets. Do you know what I'd like to see together? That breakfast DJ, Sarah...
Cox.
And who's the dancer? Carl.
Carl Cox.
Carl, please, why are you getting suddenly saying these rude words? We've been reprimanded once, Carl.
Don't say
please.
That. And don't say it so aggressively, because it sounds like you're saying Cox aggressively.
Come on, we've been reprimanded. Yeah. All right? Just don't use language like that.
It's annoying me.
Come on.
Why is it annoying you? Because we're talking about DJs. That's their names.
You try to be clever.
I hardly think that's clever.
You've given me a lot.
Yeah, if that's my best attempt at being clever.
I've got rubbish homework this week.
Okay, he's really upset
he's
about
really
this.
Upset.
He was looking forward to animal fat.
You said you were going to bring in that big book, 500
it's
animal
so,
fat.
So, I got it off one of those bargain books. So I thought it'd be easy, right? Cause but it's too elementary.
No, but that's more useful than that to me.
But it's things like the tortoise has a shell to protect it.
That's good.
Yeah, but you know...
Even... you thought it was there just to be painted on the tip.
Oh, have you ever peeled a tortoise? They fly. They go about 400 miles an hour. It's to weigh them down because they're the fastest lizards known to man. Exactly. Honestly, they run so fast they can go through walls.
Yeah.
And so their shells put on them in the hospital, in the maternity ward, at a very early age, just slow them down. You let a tortoise shout and you won't catch it.
Steve, do you know that turtles can breathe out of the bum?
Turtles can breathe out of their bum? I know someone who can talk out of it, but synchronize that.
Tell us about that.
How
do they do that?
That's all I know. When they go swimming, they can sort of, if they don't want to stick their head out, they can just...
stick their arse out.
Yeah.
Why don't they want to stick their head out?
I don't know. Maybe they need to be looking for food under the water.
Yeah.
And if they stick their head up to get some air, they might miss something.
Wouldn't it be easier to have an arse that could forage for food? So they could sort of like lounge in the pool, like a jacuzzi, and they're looking around going, all right, hello, hiya. And meanwhile, its arse is like munching grass.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be easier?
Bad breath.
Well, I wish I understood what that meant. In all this
isn't
hilarity.
That a quote, isn't it?
But in all that this hilarity, I'm worried we've forgotten the true meaning of Easter. No, come on, Rick. Come on. You're being frothy and lightweight and a little bit rude. But, you know, it's a time for... remembering
and chocolate
that someone did die for our sins.
Yeah.
So can we just
be ashamed to disappoint him?
Yeah. Can we just think about that and just take a moment just to consider that?
Yeah, can we do that?
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You understand the true meaning of Easter. It's not just about eggs and bunnies. You understand it, don't you?
Yeah.
What's your memory of it? What's your understanding of it, Carl? What's it all about for you?
What do you have to do at school? Do you have to do anything at school?
I think we've got a long weekend off.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
What did they call that weekend?
Easter weekend.
Brilliant.
Okay, and what was the reason for that? Why do we have Easter weekend off?
Jesus.
Yeah, but what did he do?
He put himself on the cross.
Yeah. Well,
he didn't put himself on.
No.
Does it mean anything to you? Are you moved by that story?
Again, too long ago for me to sort of...
Okay.
to worry about it.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, if there'd have been an Anderson shouter involved, you'd have been there, wouldn't you? You're not well today, are you, Carl?
Not at all. Don't know what's wrong with me today. I've got a bit of a temperature.
Have you?
Do you know Steve? He's always on the go at me. Last night when we were out with his mates, they said he was a bit of a hypochondriac to himself.
Did they?
Yeah.
What did they say? What were they saying?
I said, Steve's told me he's not feeling well. Is he all right? Do you live with him? He said, oh, don't worry about that.
Really?
So he's always saying that, and I said, that's a bit of a fable. I said, cry wolf.
Yeah, one day say, I've got a temperature, and they go, oh, I've had the Lemsip, and he'll die.
Yeah.
Well, I've learnt my lesson.
Yeah. There was one about the boy cried wolf. The moral can surely only be never tell the same lie twice. You know what I mean? Because if he'd have like come up with a different one, he'd have kept him going all year, I reckon.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
I never thought we'd like that before.
What are we going to play?
A final tune? We got a bit of Suede, haven't we?
Well, it depends.
Let's get a bit of Suede in and song for the ladies. Let's go over.
Don't say that. Yeah, I'll give us your song.
What's the match? What's this? The gig guide is Long Wave and Guapo and Plankers. What's this? What's the football match? So what are the football matches XFM covering?
I don't know. What
come
song
on.
Would you like?
Track 8.
So Bolton versus Barnsley.
You don't like sport though, do you? A lot of people who do. Right, track 8, what are we going for then?
We're going for, it's a bit of Stevie Wonder.
Yeah?
And I think it's quite a short song though, Carly. You're gonna, are you sure?
No, that's cool, yes,
it's okay, you're okay, are you?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the final song,
This lost a lot of energy, this show.
This is it.
I mean, the first hour and 40 minutes, I think, was dynamite. I think the last 10 have been flagging.
But I met Carl. He was full of life, you know. He was answering the questions and stuff, and now you've
lost it, mate. He got fed up with the quotations. He didn't like us mentioning Radio 1 DJs, such as Sarah.
Cox.
And Carl.
Oh, Cox?
Yeah, he didn't like that.
Sorry, everyone.
Black Rebel Marks out of Club. Whatever happened to my rock and roll? Well, near the end of the show, it's time for the re-education of Carl, revisited.
Mm-hmm.
Still got Nick Cave to come, haven't we?
Absolutely.
Now, Carl, you read a quote book. What did you learn from it? Tell us some pearls of wisdom. Just keep it down to one or two, your favourite things and why you like them.
Right, well, you said, just pick a couple.
Yeah.
Right? So I wrote a couple down last night. And what I did... So they weren't boring, right? I've sort of
don't think you can ever be boring.
No. But what I've done, I've took like different ones. So I've took a good one that I think, that's a good quote. That was worth putting in a book. I've put one that isn't really a quote, so I don't understand it.
Oh
One that isn't clever, and a funny one. So a bit of variation out of one book.
Oh, how long did this take you? What did you do? Did you sort of like sit?
About half an hour last night.
And did you sit sort of like quietly at a desk or something?
No, just in the lounge with the telly turned down.
Oh, right.
Just to give a bit of light to the room. Just had it on, but turned down.
Have you figured out lights yet?
So the first one, never heard of him. This guy called Dean Axon.
Right.
And this is a good one. He said, the memo is written not to inform the reader, but to protect the writer.
That's good, yeah. That's very good.
That's
it relates a lot to, you know, office life and so on.
Yeah, modern world and that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so then, I wrote that down because I liked it, and that's what you said to do. Second one isn't really a quote, it's more of a poem.
Okay.
So how does that work?
Well, that's okay.
Just read it.
Right, well, it's about suicide.
Okay. Right?
Razors pain you, rivers are damp, acids stain you, drugs cause cramp. Guns aren't lawful, nooses give, gas smells awful, so you might as well live.
Lovely.
Is that from Dorothy Parker?
I'll tell you
it
what.
It is, yeah.
I hate it. I hate that.
Why?
It's nothing to me, that.
I think that...
It's just a weak, shallow piece of mock comedy.
This is why I did it in that order, because that's what I thought.
It's sort of like a zany vicar would write from living in Froome when he's about 55 and get it published in the... I hate it.
All right, so you're saying you're not a fan of Dorothy Parker's work, right?
Yeah.
Now, the next one, Oscar Wilde.
Yeah.
Right, he's known, isn't he?
Yes.
Look what he comes up with. All art is quite useless.
Well, that's... What's up with that?
Well, it isn't added art.
No, I know, but it's... Go on, next.
But how has art helped you? How has it been useful to you?
It was a bit of a... It's one of the only things I like doing at school.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? When I made that little clay man fixing a car.
Yeah.
You made a clay man fixing a car? I forgot about that.
How can he... I think that's stupid. And especially that it's gone in a book.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
It's easy to diss things.
Yeah, it's harder to do things up. You're right.
I don't think art is useless, by the way. But you don't have to agree or disagree with some of these things. Some of them are, you know, so that someone, sometimes it's just their thoughts put eloquently or poetically, isn't it? And it's just, you
know. Just to provoke a reaction as much as anything.
Yeah.
And the good one, Ozzy Osbourne.
I mean, but just go back there. The irony is that is art. That he was an artist, wasn't he? So.
But so you don't like Oscar Wilde, but you prefer Ozzy Osbourne. So
yeah, go on.
Ozzy Osbourne, cracking one, this. Funny and educational. A bit ahead off a bat the other night. It was like eating a crunchy wrapped in a chamois leather.
Genius.
You're right. You're right, Carl.
Yeah.
So there's...
What do you like about that? The way he's described what it is like?
I think, if someone... I mean, that you can imagine what it's like, because I like crunchies.
Yeah.
And a chamois leather is really chewy, so you can imagine that's like the skin.
So you like his descriptive writing.
The crunchy bit is like the bones and that.
Yeah, it's
perfect.
But you know, Carl, it's interesting because you've analysed Ozzy there, and in a way, that is the first step on maybe doing a new English GCSE.
Yeah,
you know,
you said why you liked it. You said because it describes what about you've never eaten about yourself.
Yeah, but my teacher, Mrs. Kane, if I would have come into school with a quote by Ozzy Osbourne, she wouldn't have been happy.
Really?
Do you know what I mean? And that's the difference between...
She'd go, right, Carl, get your horse and go home.
Well, listen, though, we were talking about all the quotes.
Yeah.
Neil Armstrong.
Yeah.
Do you know his one?
Yeah.
What, One Giant Leap for Mankind?
Do you know it wasn't meant to be that? You know, it says it's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, right? Yep. It was meant to be, this is one small step for a man.
Right.
I.e. Yes. me, the individual, on a microcosmic level, one giant leap for mankind. And he mucked it up. Because if you say, this is one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, man there means mankind.
I know. It's embarrassing.
So he shouldn't give people... He's not a trained actor.
It's true.
He's more of an astronaut, to be honest.
Has he won any awards, Rick?
No, there are no awards. Is he BAFTA nominated? Don't think so.
But listen, right, he said another quote as he got back into the rocket. Have you heard about it?
Go on.
We run out of time, and I'm just wondering whether it's worth saving as a bit of a teaser for next week.
What did Neil Armstrong say as he got back into the rocket?
Yeah.
Is it going to be something like, that was boring, wasn't it? The mic's not still on, is it?
Yeah.
They're not still listening.
Well, that's what I was saying to you. He could have said that, and it would have still gone down.
Jeez.
It would have still gone down as an amazing quote, wouldn't it?
Well, listen, I think you should save it, Carl.
You tosser, I was meant to go first.
No, I'll tell you what we'll do, Carl. We'll squeeze it in before the end of the show, because, Ricky, you got to play your song for the lovers.
Oh,
we should play this.
I don't think we'll fit in. We might have to save it.
Don't worry, we'll see what we can do.
Well, next week, by the way, you've got happiness quotations, a collection of thoughtful words and beautiful paintings. I'll just give you an example of one. Happiness is a perfume you can pour on others without... You cannot pour on others without getting a few drops on yourself. Lovely that, isn't it?
Brilliant.
You can't be happy with that. Okay. This is Nick Cave and the Bad Seed from the Boatman's Call. It's a beautiful song. Any song that starts off, I don't believe in an interventionist God, is all right by me. And this is Into My Arms. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Into My Arms. Well, that's it. We've run out of time.
We have indeed.
So no time for Carl's quote. That'll have to come next week.
Yeah, we'll save that for
Neil
next time.
Armstrong. Well, I hope you enjoyed it. Goodbye.
All right, Rick. Oh, I'm sounding a bit chirpy. It's not that depressing.
Well, yeah.
Sports next. You know how excited you are.
Go on.
You love the sport, do you? The Flaming Lips and Race for the Prize. Just playing that, Rick, for everyone who emails us. We get a lot of emails every week, but obviously don't really respond to them because we're very lazy people, but we obviously appreciate it. And I play that particularly for Claire, who's emailed in saying her friend Sarah Prosser would like some Beatles. We're not going to play the Beatles this week, but Sarah apparently loves us more than words can express.
More than Carl could express.
Absolutely.
I'm going to stop you there. You don't want an advert. Spread your love on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me, Steve Mitchell. And now it's Carl's bit. It's the re-education of Carl. He's like Liza Doolittle. And now he's coming through. Or Lawnmower Man, if you've seen that film. More like Lawnmower Man, if you've seen the film. You'll know what I mean. His homework was to just study quotes, really, on happiness and stuff and general well-being. He's not a big happiness quote fan, are you, Carl?
Not really.
So what have you done? You've come up with something, haven't you?
Right, yeah, I told you, right? Because a lot of these are just things you say every day. They're nothing special. So what I'm doing...
Well, you say them every day.
Well, the sort of things you come out with and you don't even think about it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're on the TV all the time. People on the radio are saying these sort of little quotes.
Sure.
And... what I've done is, remember that programme on Channel 4, Faking It?
Yeah.
Where they got some, like, posh kid to be on a door and all that. What I've done,
imagine if that was the pitch for the show. Dear Channel 4. Just going to get a posh kid on a door or something?
Yeah.
Yours sincerely, Carl.
Come in. Yeah.
TV
yeah.
producer.
Yeah. Yeah, go on.
So, what I've done, this little book of quotes, happiness quotes, I've picked two that are real.
Okay.
And I've made one up. Right.
And we've got a guess.
And you've got a guess.
Okay, then. Go on.
Well, I'll tell you what, Rick, why don't we, when we've heard them, we won't confer.
No.
You write down yours,
yeah.
A, B, or C, and I'll write down mine, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay, Carl, off you go.
Right, and just because I'm looking at this book, it doesn't mean I'm actually reading.
No, I know.
Don't
no,
worry,
I know.
We're clever.
No, no, we know. We can't see yet.
Can I call my bluff?
Yeah, go on, then.
Nothing is worth more than this day.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
The way I see it...
Oh God, my head's going to burst.
No, hang on.
My head's going to burst.
No, hang on. This might not be Carl's.
Oh, it might not be.
How do you know I haven't tweaked them a little bit?
Yeah, good point. Good point.
The way I see it, if you want the rainbow, you got to put up with the rain.
Yeah, okay.
All right,
yeah.
Okay, hang on. It's not here.
Come on.
Cat food,
go on.
It stinks a bit. But if you don't put up with the smell, the little kitten will die.
Steve, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Imagine this in faking it. Imagine their faces when he says that.
And they're going, oh my God. Oh. Carl, play a song, mate.
Oh, we'll have to confer on this one.
Blair. Well, that's just amazing, Carl. Just read them again. Two were real, one was fake. Go on in.
Right. First one. Nothing is worth more than this day.
Excellent. Next one.
What does that mean?
Well, cherish yep. now. Cherish your yep. time.
Okay.
Because you can't get it back, and yep. you know.
That's the way I saw it.
Carpe diem, whatever it is. Seize the day and all that.
Okay. If you want the rainbow, you've got to put up with the rain.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, rough with the smooth. You know, it's not all plain sailing, but, you know, rainbow is beautiful, but it comes because of the rain, which you might not like. So
yeah.
make the most of everything and, yeah. good.
Cat food doesn't smell good, but if you don't put up with it, then the little kitten will die.
Right, now, Carl, that is a good effort. Now, that one's yours. I mean, obviously, right?
Right.
Right, no, but it's a good effort. Right.
I mean, it slipped seamlessly into the others.
Yeah.
I don't think it didn't.
No, but it's good. I mean, we knew it was that one. But what I will say is, it's good, but what you don't know, maybe subconsciously, is, I mean, it's very similar to the putting up with the rain and the rainbow. But
why,
that's good.
Why do you think that?
Well...
What does mine mean?
Well, even though it smells bad, it's good for something.
Right, I didn't look at it like that.
What did you look at?
I kind of thought...
Was yours more specifically about cat food, generally? Because, you know, normally they, like, it's an analogy.
Yeah, or a metaphor for something, you know.
Well, no, the way I mean,
Dolly Parton, who I think did the rainbow rain thing, she wasn't specifically concerned about weather conditions.
No.
It was a sort of general idea.
Yeah, it was all about life.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've done.
Go on. Okay.
I've used an everyday thing.
Yeah.
And put it with today's problems, right?
Go on.
So, like... my girlfriend, yeah, she might like to go shopping for clothes. I hate it.
Right.
But because I love her, I put up with it.
Ah, that's nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you love that little kitten. You can't stand the smell of the stuff you got to feed it. But because you love it, you go, well, you know, I'll put up with this just for a few minutes and then I can, like, squeeze its head later and give it a little...
Sorry. Can we go back?
You know, stroke its head and stuff.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Sorry, it was a bit of a slip, was it?
Squeeze its little head.
No, yeah.
Well, that's just the thing that I do with cats.
Put it in a bag and drown it in a lake.
I can feed it and then I can throw it against the wall.
Exactly. So you didn't see it like that, did you?
No, that's very good. So it's about love, is it? It's about putting up with the bad things for something you love.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
But
that's
Carl, you seem now to be convinced and rather smug that you've tricked us and that you've fooled us and that we didn't understand it. Well, I say that's your fault, not ours.
No, it's not, though. I mean, look, that man in Forrest Gump, he was a bit of a nutter.
A bit of a nutter!
And he came up with the life as a box of chocolates thing.
Yeah.
Now, if that was in this book, you'd say, oh, yeah, brilliant, you know, good bit of work. But if he was sat here doing the show with you,
yeah,
you'd be taking the mickey out of him.
Sometimes I feel he is.
No, but, Carl, I could, in fact, if people are out there, we're too lazy, could you write down everything Carl's ever said? Because I think we could publish that.
Yeah.
He said one today. He saw my salamander. It's not a euphemism. He saw my salamander and it's just sitting there in the tank.
Your exotic pet.
Yeah. And he's worried about there not being a lid on. And he said, I went, what were you worried about? He said, wow. He said, it sits there for 24 hours a day, obviously planning to get out.
Well, he's got nothing else on its mind. And it's, the daft thing is, he has actually got the lid ripped up a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. He's got nothing else to think about. And they'll be looking up there.
Yeah.
And it's going to get out.
But what's the worst that could happen?
What's it thinking? What do you think it's thinking, this salamander?
It's got its eye on the DVD player. I could have Ian be down the market.
Well.
Oh, God.
Are they dangerous?
Can I just say something?
Are they dangerous?
I think the salamander's thinking exactly the same things as you. I mean, to look at you, you've got the same expression on your face. You know what I mean? You're dressed in green as well. You've got a little round sort of hamburglar type head, like the salamander. Very similar. And yet you bonded with it, didn't you?
Yeah, but I probably would have tried to get out, but my little paper round bag would just hang on the corner.
Yeah. Buzzcocks, harmony in the head. Now, things are flying here at XFM. people have called in. There is a video of Freaks on the way. Carl's going to see that within the week. That's exciting. That is exciting for me. Do you know what I mean? About our education of Carl. We started off trying to teach him about science and history, and now we just find that he likes pictures of hairy Chinese kids and
who
women.
Doesn't?
Who doesn't? No, true. You've got a theory about pictures of freaks, haven't you?
You see, you always bring things up that I don't want to talk about, because I'm really worried that people, if you've just tuned in for the first time, it's the first time you hear it, and we're talking about hairy Chinese kids.
Yeah.
Talking about the human worm.
Carl, listen, people don't think that you're taking the piss out of those people. They lump you in with them. Do you know what I mean? They think that you're a freak of nature, so you can say anything you want. Do you know what I mean? Because it's honest, it's from the heart, it's genuine. So, don't worry about
that. Yeah, but Suzanne was saying last night that I've got a heart of stone, or whatever it is.
Why?
Because I wasn't crying at Comic Relief. And all I was to say to her, get out Elephant Man, let me watch that for 30 minutes, I'll be crying my heart out.
Why? Why do you care about that but not...
Because that is more real, isn't it, right? Think of John Merrick.
Sorry. What, the film starring John Hurt is more real than footage of starving people in Africa?
No, but what I'm saying is, think about... See, this is why I didn't want to bring it up, because people are going to just say...
Well, you're allowed to cry at what you like. People can't have you for not crying at someone and crying at someone else.
Imagine that, like, if you've seen the film, you know, his head's all, you know, messed up and that.
Yeah.
He's getting picked on all the time.
Yeah. By Michael Elphick, I remember.
Yeah.
It's just really, really sad. Whereas, you know, we're trying to help
out. But you give him a bun and he forgets it.
Do you know what I mean, though?
He never forgets, Rick.
Oh, dear.
Anyway.
Oh, God.
We're giving away stuff again.
Yeah.
Tell me
your theory about freaks who have their picture taken.
No, I'd leave it.
No, can I tell
we'll
you
do it next week, then.
Can I tell you what this
go
is?
Go on, quickly, what is it?
Right, when he sees a little picture, like, in these books he's got, he carries round those things. Right? And there's, like, a fella with a little head with some, like, able-bodied people. He goes, the only reason they got to take that picture, right, was so they could show their mate, say, look at me, the little fella with a little head. That's his theory.
Yeah. That every picture of a freak, they're
right,
being...
Steve, let me describe the picture to you. This little fella with a little head.
Right.
Playing on the piano.
I've seen it.
All his family stood around, and mates and that. When have you ever seen a picture of someone playing the piano and everybody wants to be in on it? Right. Doesn't happen.
Maybe it was one of those kind of Christmas cards they sent out to everyone.
It wasn't. You could see one of them was like in a rush to go away. He was probably planned to go out. And he was like, but they were taking a picture. It's, oh, I'll be in it then before I go out. And it was all, he's out of order.
Yeah.
Do you know the one I mean?
I do know the one you mean, yeah.
What about the one in the, when you went down to Cornwall, in that little
we'll
pub?
We'll talk about that next week.
Coldplay, God Put a Smile Upon Your Face on XFM 104.9, Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant, Carl Pilkington.
Reading the paper yesterday, Rick, they, were talking about the fact that Blair has been, I think, he's been in Greece, discussing EU matters.
Oh, yeah.
And they used, the old Trojan horse analogy.
Yeah.
To say, you know, here's a particular policy and it seems like they're trying to sneak in some kind of dubious idea.
Disguised as something else.
Exactly. And, it's always struck me, ever since I was first introduced to the Trojan horse theory, I never understood how it had come about. Do you know what I mean?
Sorry, I Carl has got a frown on him. Like, a thing I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Carl's not
Tony Blair is the Prime Minister.
You know what the Trojan horse was?
Go on.
Have you come across this before? Have you heard of it before?
Wasn't that Ascot or anything? Go on.
Well, the Trojan horse, what happened was, it's a famous kind of Greek story. About the fact that the Greeks
in olden times, specifically, yeah,
the Greeks laid siege to Troy for 6 years. Basically, things had got out of hand. I think the Trojans had done something with Helen, and someone else was annoyed. Anyway, it all got very complicated. It got out of hand, and the
Helen, the one with the mashed up face, because they used to use it to launch ships.
Hmm. Anyway. The Greeks laid siege to Troy for 6 years, right, and they weren't getting anywhere. They were outside the gates, they were saying, let us in, so what they did was, they all disappeared,
they wanted to get in and kill everyone.
Yeah.
That's exactly why they wouldn't be letting in.
But they couldn't get inside the city walls. So what they did was, they left as a gift for the Trojans. They left an enormous wooden horse, okay, as a gift, and then they all buggered off.
Like 40 foot high, like, I mean, a big, you know.
Big wooden horse.
An ark of a horse.
And the Trojans wheeled it into the city.
So that's nice.
Thought, what a lovely gift.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, who was hiding inside but an entire Greek army? They leapt out, killed everyone in their sleep.
Yeah.
All right, and that's where the famous idea of a Trojan horse has come from, you know, sneaking something in disguised as something else. All right. Okay.
So if he ever... Yeah.
He doesn't really understand, does he?
No, but to be honest, nor do I.
Well, this is the problem I've always had with this. Because I don't understand who comes up with the idea. I mean,
I can't think that was the best idea.
Well, no, no.
There must be other ways. If they come up with that, how long did it take them to... When they said... One before I said, can I have a word?
Go on,
General.
Yeah.
I've got an idea.
Yeah.
Build a big horse, right? Hide inside it. And then, I know what you're thinking. They won't let us in even in the horse.
Yeah.
Leave it as a gift.
Brilliant. Right. Who are you? That's the best idea. Are you the guy that came up with, why don't we get a giant bra and twing everyone over the walls?
Yeah. Let's get a 100-foot ruler. And you know, like at school, we used to like flick the teacher's ass with like, right, I could flick you over one at a time.
Right.
On this giant ruler.
Thanks for your idea. It's on the table.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of suggestions on the way.
What about a million elastic bands tied together? Yeah, and you all hold it down, and then I just let you go.
Right.
And you all ping over, and then you kill him in their sleep.
You're the best tactician we've got, are you?
What? The other thing is, right, these people open the door.
Well, I don't understand. Firstly, there's suddenly, the army that's laid siege to them for 6 years has disappeared. In their place, an enormous gift of a giant wooden horse.
Oh, they probably don't want to kill us now, but what they've done is they've built us
a great gift. Presumably there was a giant kind of card or something, you know. Something for you, you know, sorry about the laying siege and everything, forgive you. Yeah. Here's an enormous gift, here's an enormous Trojan horse. We know it's what you've always wanted.
We're not inside it.
Exactly.
Why did they write that?
Yeah.
That's suspicious.
But it's,
wheel it in anyway.
But in terms of it as an idea initially, I mean, we're going to give them a gift. Well, what should we do? We could bake an enormous quiche, be inside that. We could have an enormous soap on a rope as a gift. It's the fact that it's an enormous horse, an enormous wooden horse as a gift anyway. I don't know if this was a popular gift at the time, but it's also the stupidity of the Trojans saying, brilliant. I've always wanted an enormous wooden horse. Well, what are we going to do with it?
Where are we going to
wheel
it in anyway? Leave it.
Just wheel it in.
Wheel it in. Let's go to sleep. Let's worry about it tomorrow.
Exactly.
But it's this idea of someone going, right, is this definitely the best idea? And they go, yeah. And they look to the carpenter.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, it's going to take a while.
Yeah, we've got to get wood.
Well, you haven't put a door in.
Yeah.
How are we going to get up there?
Doesn't look like a horse.
It is.
It's the worst horse I've ever seen. Why, it looks like a cow.
Well, yeah, the udders where we hide. There's a horse.
It's got no tail.
Well, that's the rope that you climb up.
But I don't know if it's one of those things where, again, because we kind of learn these things at school, that somewhere along the line, the truth of it has disappeared, and we are...
Well, I imagine it lost a bit in translation.
Yeah.
Because, in Eohippus in Greek means a giant tank.
Right.
So that actually was a Sherman.
Yeah.
And it burst through and it shot them all.
Yeah.
But of course, down the years, they've tried. Look at Carl's face. Look at Carl's face. If everyone on webcam, Carl, just keep that face and look up to the camera. Right? Get a look at that now. Play a record, Carl. Educating Carl, we should bring that back.
We should bring that back.
Yeah. What do you want to learn about next week?
We've told you about the Trojan horse.
Know anything about any freaks?
Oh, that was a big Placebo. This picture on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve Merchant and Carl Pilkington.
Right.
So you've been educated there, haven't you? The Trojan horse.
Yeah.
Trojan horse. And that's, of course, where the phrase, beware Greeks bearing gifts, comes from.
Silence again.
Yeah. You ever heard of that one?
Go on. What's that again?
Beware Greeks bearing gifts.
Right.
What do you think that means?
I don't know. I mean, what is that? Is that used worldwide or what? Will he say that in Greece as well? Or? But I imagine Christmas Day is rubbish.
No, it doesn't actually mean beware of Greeks wearing gifts. It's more to do with like maybe it's too good to be true, or you know. It's just the opposite to don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Probably where it came from as well.
Justin from Southend emailed in. He just said, For the Trojans not to have spotted that it was a trick, they must have been the biggest bunch of moronic, ever to have walked the earth. Does Carl have any Trojan in him by any chance?
Cheeky, innit?
Eh?
What?
Never mind. What? I think that probably proves it.
I thought of another one I like as well. I was saying, you may as well be hung for a sheep as a lamb.
I've never heard, I don't think I've heard that. I have heard it, but I don't think I've ever used it in common parlance.
Well, it's like, if you're going to do something, you know, you might as well go the whole hog, depending on the outcome, because it's based on reality. That's why I like it, because obviously the poor people used to poach, and if they were caught stealing, you know, a sheep or anything, they would be hung. So if you're going to get caught, don't steal a lamb, you know, at least feed your family for a few weeks.
Right, sure.
Kill a sheep.
Yeah.
Actually hung, but killing a sheep.
Harsh. Your dad would be in trouble, down in Wales, stealing stuff from that, from that phone box.
Well, he has a couple of sayings, right?
Yeah, I've
never asked him what they mean.
Why would you? Ask Suzanne.
One is, don't try and teach your granny to suck eggs.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That means, is patronising to, of course I know that. You're talking to someone who knows more about this subject than you.
But how did that happen then? How did that saying come about?
Well, it's not. It's a totally made up thing. It's like, your granny sucks eggs, doesn't she? Because she's older than you and it's probably a lost art or something.
Right. And the other one,
Sucks eggs?
Sucks
eggs, sorry, I thought you said something else.
Don't nudge your granny when she's shaving.
What?
Sorry?
Don't nudge your granny while she's shaving.
Don't nudge your,
Granny when she's having a shave.
Well, what is that in context? Because I can't work out what the analogy is there, because that might just be when you were little, you used to run up to your granny while she was shaving or something.
But why is your granny shaving?
Well, no, what context is that said in? Tell me the last time your dad ever said that, and I'll try and work out what it means.
Can't remember. I don't
know. Are you sure these aren't specific to your granny?
Yeah, I was going to say, were you nudging your granny? She was going, yeah. Get lost, Carl.
She was shaving off her moustache.
Or giving herself a Brazilian.
God. That's grotesque. Suck an egg.
Oh, God.
That's made it worse.
Carl's granny sucking eggs. Whilst that's, that is my...
a Brazilian. We've no idea. I don't know what that means. Don't nudge your granny while she's shaving. Parmesan?
I don't know. Maybe someone knows. You might be right, maybe.
Well, email in. Tell us.
But Educating Ricky, it was a feature. Well, actually, about a year ago, I started a feature called Educating Carl, because we found out he had one E at O level at history. I'd educate him on things like Rasputin, things that I thought he'd be interested in, you know, Winston Churchill, some of the greats, some scientific facts. And, then I said, it's your turn. And he started telling me about people born without legs. Some people have got a funny eye. There's a woman whose tongue's longer than her arm. And really, you know, turning the screw on education. Yeah.